Turning your Bibles to the Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5. I probably should have asked earlier how many of you think a podcast is something that a tree does in the fall. But it's amazing with all this stuff that's out there that can be done. But think of things we do. In order to do it the way Pastor Townsley has it in mind, there does need to be people here. Don't just say, oh, I'll wait to listen to it. Have some questions. There might be some things. If you have questions about exactly how that'll go ahead of time, you can ask him specifically, or if you want to help in some way, let us know. But Galatians chapter number 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 16. The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Lord, please help us this evening as we open the Word of God together now. I pray that you would work it in its truths in our hearts and lives. Lord, help me to be true to it and help me to only say things that are pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Galatians is described in a lot of different ways. A lot of times we like, isn't it how we always, and I don't, it's just how we are. We always want to emphasize the exciting, right? We always want to, look at things in the exciting way, and it's emphasized rightfully so in a lot of ways. It's looked at as the book that declares how we're not under law but under grace, and that's absolutely true. It's looked at the book that declares our liberty in Christ Jesus, and that's absolutely true as well. You can certainly study it with those themes in mind, but there's another theme in mind, and this kind of springs out of the last thought in the message last Wednesday night. We were kind of talking about a mindset for a new year, and we talked about we need to empty ourselves of ourselves. Another theme in the book of Galatians that we don't like to necessarily acknowledge as much is the theme of death to self. Because you see, really, we don't experience the liberty that is in Christ Jesus in its fullness until we understand death to self. Amen. Now, we can go to heaven. We're not talking about, Galatians by itself makes it clear. You don't work your way to heaven in any way, shape, or form. But as a believer living on this earth, who God intends to live in victory, you realize that? You realize that every believer, it's God's intention that they live on this earth in victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, we don't always do it, but that's God's intention. God's already won the victory. It's already His. And so the key then is, what's the problem? What gets in the way of it? Is it some flaw in God's plan? Of course not. What gets in the way of it is us. It's us. And so in order to tap into the freedom and live in the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, it encompasses the idea of death to self. Galatians chapter 2, we didn't read it, but it's a very familiar verse. In verse 20, Paul said it this way. He said, "Here I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." He goes on, verse 24 of Galatians 5, which in the closer to the passage where we were just at, he says, "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." There's this theme along with the freedom, along with the victory, along with the grace, there is this theme of I live in it by surrendering the will of the flesh to the will of the Spirit. By the way, that's not just a Galatians truth. That's a New Testament truth. You can look in different places in the New Testament and see it. In the book of Romans, for example, he says neither. And he says it this way, Romans chapter 6, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In other words, it's a Romans, same concept, same idea, just uses a little different word. He says yield. He uses other words in Romans, like reckon yourself to be, and the idea is reckon yourself to be dead. Account yourself to be just like Jesus sees that old man is put to death on the cross. Account yourself that way here as you walk through this earth. And you know, the happiest believers are the believers that live a day or a minute or an hour, and they live it surrendered to the inner working of the Holy Spirit. Probably many of you in here know what it's like to live both ways. Nobody in here has achieved perfection because we're fleshly. But I'll tell you right now, I've had days where the flesh has been allowed to gain the upper hand, and those days do not feel very liberating, do they? But there's been days, and maybe even just moments. But there have been blessed times where you allow the Holy Spirit, and if you've ever, when you say you're in charge, and you put it in His hands, or you yield to Him, and friend, that's freedom. That's a peace like you can't achieve on this earth. That's a joy that you cannot look for, you cannot pay for. Why? Because it's Him, it's the inner working of the Holy Spirit doing what we cannot do in our flesh, but doing it through us because He is empowers us to do it. And so, it's phrased, even though necessarily in the passage that we read here this evening, it doesn't necessarily use that phrase, death to self, but the idea here is this, and it's expressed this way, beginning in verse number 16. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. It's the same idea, same concept. In other words, yield, don't yield to the flesh, yield to the Spirit. I think it's amazing, it's a neat thing. You can go home maybe later, and if you have a concordance, you know, the book. All right, you have phones, you can use those too. I laugh, I use it too. I mean, and you plug in the word walk, just and streamline it down to, you know, the Pauline epistles. You know, it's amazing how many times that descriptive is used to describe the Christian life. It's interesting. He could have used a lot of words. I mean, He is God. He certainly has the mastery of all of language. He created it. He invented it. He could have said, you know, eat in the Spirit. But you know what? You only do that three times a day. You know, he could have said exercise in the Spirit. But you know what? Sometimes we don't do that at all. But he could have used a lot of different things, but he chose walk. And I am intrigued by that because it's used so many times. You go to the book of Ephesians and study the latter half of the book of Ephesians just by how he tells us to walk. Walk circumspectly. What, you know, and he uses it over and over in different ways. And I think he's trying to get across a point to us. It's not, you know, go to church in the Spirit. It's walk in the Spirit. You see, our walk is about the most basic element of our day. Now, you know, in a healthy body, and I understand there's elements and things, but But you think pretty much everybody in this room, what did you do? You parked your car outside, you got out and you walked in the building. You walked from your house to get in your car. And so the fact that he uses walk in and of itself teaches us that God's view of the Christian life is a whole life encompassing thing. It's not a three times a day thing. It's not a three time a week thing. It's an every part of every piece of our day thing. It's our walk. That's how you live like a Christian. You walk like a Christian. And here in Galatians chapter number 5, he talks about this in these terms, and he says, you need to, if you are going to live in the Spirit and in the victory that I have spoken of in the first part of even chapter number 5, if you are going to experience that victory, you need to get to where you are walking. Every step you take is in the Spirit. Because you know, as people in the flesh, we never gravitate towards the Spirit, do we? And so we yield, and we yield. And the more we yield our steps, you know, in the ministry, you deal with, try to help a lot of different people. Now, it's tragic what happens in some people's lives, and they get so bound by different things. And, you know, even believers can get to that point, and how do they get to that point? They forgot to manage their steps. You ever spend a little bit of time in the woods in my life? How many of you ever been in the woods? And I like to go in the woods. I mean, I like, it's not, I don't know if it's something about where we grew up. I don't know what, but the hiking trails, the neat things, those are neat. I mean, but feels kind of man. I mean, we like to go in the woods and get in there. And, you know, I've had places that I've gone in the woods. And you go in one way, and you're trying to get out of there, and you think, all right, I remember that, you know, branch being broken, or I remember crossing that barbed wire fence there, I think. I mean, my boys know what I'm talking about. We've been there. You end up coming out, and I'm standing here, so you know I've always gotten out, thankfully. But it's amazing how many times I've come out and landed in a completely different spot from where I thought I was going to come out. How did that happen? One step at a time. how does somebody go from living in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ to the bondage of the flesh and the bondage of sin? One step at a time. How does it happen where, and we've all, if you've been saved any length of time, you've seen people like this where, you know, you know them and, you know, in some phase of life, and boy, you think, you know, you see their Christian testimony, and then you lose contact with them for some reason. Maybe a few years later, you run back into them, and they're nothing like they used to be, and not in a good way. They've gone the wrong way. They've backslidden, however you want to describe it, and you think, man, how could somebody that was so victorious at one point, how could they get to where they are now? They stopped thinking about their steps. And so he says to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians, in the passage that we read a rather lengthy passage this evening, and in the passage that we read, it gives the symptoms of both. It gives the works, the way it's phrased, the works of the flesh are these, and it gives a list that has an element of a perpetuity to it, because at the end of the list, he says in verse 21, and such like. In other words, I've listed a bunch of things, but the old flesh will get you into so many different troubles that I can't even list them all here. So he lists the works of the flesh, and then he goes on and lists and gives us the fruit, the singular fruit of the Spirit. And in a way, in a sense, you can look at these things and go, all right, let me gauge it. Am I walking in the flesh or am I walking in the Spirit? And that's the challenge this evening. Are you walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit? I'm not going to go through each one of these one by one. I didn't feel as if this was the hour to do that, but there is a series of questions that I would like to propose to you out of the passage here just to make you think. Number one, consider this. Is there peace or is there strife? Is there peace or is there strife? One aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, I mean, is right there, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, it's right there. When you look at the fruit of the Spirit as a whole, love, joy, peace, long, if you just thought about a person and they embodied all those things, love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, you would think, man, what a peaceful person. It's almost a way that you would characterize them. Boy, they love people like they should. They're patient with people, long suffering. They're gentle. They're kind. What a peaceful soul. There's peace. But if you look at the works of the flesh, they are characterized by things that cause and produce strife. And it's even right in there. Look at verse number 20 specifically. And look at the things. It says hatred. You know, that's those interpersonal struggles. Hatred, variance, emulations. That word has to do with jealousy. Wrath, strife, the word is right there. You seditions, heresies. Doesn't sound very peaceful at all. You know, there's a lot of born-again children of God, and I'm not thinking of any individual. I mean, what I find is, and Pastor Townsley preached something and mentioned something similar to this, what I realize is in our lives, there are certain compartments almost of our lives where we struggle, and others, it might... you know, not manifest itself, okay? But there is something that you'll notice about a child of God who is walking in the flesh and not the Spirit. They're yielding to the flesh instead of the Spirit. And one of those characteristics will be a lack of peace and even a sense of strife. Sometimes it's strife with another brother or sister in Christ. Sometimes in a home, the strife might manifest itself by a teenager who wants to blame the rules and blame the environment for their situation, and that has nothing to do with it at all. Why, if the environment was the problem, why have there been story after story after story of believers confined to jail cells yet giving testimonies of peace? You see, say, well, you know, I'm all, you know, worked up about this or that or the other thing. I'm all, you know, anxious or and angst, and we can be there in a moment's notice. I recently there was something, and my wife asked me about it, and there was something else, you know, going on here. I'm telling on myself, not her. Don't worry, okay. And she asked me about it, you know, something about it the next day. I said, oh, no, I was in the flesh with that. I was in the flesh because I knew who I was. I didn't yell at her. It wasn't an argument. I got to be careful here. This was a very, on the whole scheme of things, it's just, you know, the Lord smote me. I was actually thinking along this line. The Lord kind of convicted me about it because I knew that was the problem. That's why the answer came out the way it did. Why? Well, you know, letting the old flesh have its way a little bit. And it always produces strife. And we can blame it on so many things. Well, they don't understand me. Well, they don't, it goes both ways. You know, well, those older people don't understand what it's like to be young. Or those younger people they'll get it one day when they're older. I mean, you know, it goes both ways. Those kids, those parents, these rules, that this, and we can create all of these excuses for it and ignore the real reason for it, for the strife, for the unsettledness, for the lack of peace, and it is a failure to yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Say, well, what do you expect? Me to be a doormat? No. But if you yield to the Spirit, you trust God to take care of things. You realize, now, this is not giving us an excuse to pray you know, imprecatory prayers toward people. But in Romans, the Bible says, Jesus said, the Romans says there, the Lord said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, it's like, all right, yeah, oh boy, I'm just going to sit. No, that's not the attitude a person that's yielding to the Spirit takes. A person that's yielding to the Spirit understands, you know what, even if I'm being wronged, God will do the right thing. God will take care of it, and he will handle things the right way. You know, I don't have to win every argument. I don't have to show my superiority, and my mastery, on the internet. You know, if the internet gets you riled up and full of strife and wrath, maybe don't go to those, you know, message streams and stuff like that. So, well, but they're wrong. They very well may be, but God, there is a God in heaven, and he will take care of it. Yeah, but what if? Listen, the Spirit says trust. The Spirit says yield, and the Spirit then brings peace. So, is there strife or peace? The second thought out of this, is there self-denial or self-indulgence? Verse 16, again, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse number 25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to yield to the Spirit. It is to choose the correct side in a very contrarian battle. Look at verse 17. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye, and notice what he says, and remember, God used the Apostle Paul to write this, so this should give us a level of encouragement. We know Romans 7, he struggled with it, struggled as well. He says, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Why? The flesh is against it. The day that you got saved, most glorious day of your life, if you understand anything about eternity in the Bible, the most glorious day of your life also began the biggest battle that you would face here on this earth, and it is the battle between the flesh, what you are and what I am and what we naturally want to do, and the Spirit, which God gave us to live with us and to, excuse me, and indwell in us. And so if I am going to yield to the Spirit, it is going to involve self-denial at some point. We don't really like that in America, do we? That's not a very, you know, popular idea. We're supposed to, you know, get what we want when we want. It's there. It's convenient. You can sit here. I don't think anybody's doing this, but you could do it. You could sit here, order Burger King to be delivered to your house, and it get there when you get home. I don't know why you would want to do that, but you can. I keep getting these advertisements from Joseph A. Banks wanting me to buy a suit online. How do you do that? You got to try it on. But we like the immediacy, and we don't like being denied things. That's what I'm pointing that out to remind us. That's the culture we live in. Our flesh likes it. And, you know, it's not disciplined. So when there comes something our way and God says, you know what, you should do it this way, and it's not appealing to the flesh, you know what, it's not a modern-day problem. It's really a centuries-long back-to-Adam problem, because we have to make a determination. Am I going to do what God wants me to do, or am I going to do what the flesh wants me to do? And we know when you live, I mean, if you read that list again and read it closely, we all know people who have lived out the works of the flesh, and it is a disaster. It's a disaster in our lives. So it does require some sort of self-denial. When Adam sinned, so many things changed. Even our very flesh was affected. God knows the problem, and the Holy Spirit is the solution to the problem. You know, scientists, they can see a lot of stuff under microscopes now. And there's a lot of things that God calls sin, that a scientist has isolated a code somewhere and goes, see, people with this marker, they have a propensity to this type of dangerous behavior. You know, there's things like that that are proposed. And say, well, what? What did, does this mean that the Bible's got it? No, the Bible was way ahead of it all. He said the problem was the flesh. And what he knew the building blocks of what makes flesh a long time before scientists did. And he knows we've got bad programming, if you will, because of the sin curse and because of the fall. But he has given us the Holy Spirit. And my, aren't we glad that we have the Holy Spirit with us? Amen. You realize that in Ephesians, the Bible tells us, the book of Ephesians tells us that the Holy Spirit, in chapter 1, verse 14, that he is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In other words, me and having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that is a guarantee that the Lord is going to do everything else that he said he would do because of my salvation. We're glad he's there. We're glad for the comfort. But you also realize, friend, the Bible tells us that he can be grieved. So, am I walking in the Spirit or am I walking in the flesh? Well, is there self-denial or self-indulgence? Is it just, I just do whatever I want, whatever I feel like, whatever I think, whatever my opinion is? You know, God, you know, cares about church, but, you know, everywhere else, no big deal. You know, well, wait a minute, if that's the attitude, if that's the mentality, we might be yielding to the flesh over yielding to the Spirit, because when you look at this and you read Galatians with all of the liberty that's there, we realize the key to the liberty is saying no to the flesh. So is there peace or is there strife? Is there self-denial or self-indulgence? And the third question that we'll pose to us this evening that we can see here in this passage, is there joy or is there misery? Is there joy or is there misery? Again, if you look at the list of the fruit of the Spirit, if you look at the way it's, you think, man, who wouldn't want to be that person? joy is in there, love, joy, peace, I mean, it's there. Who wouldn't want to be that person? That person never has a bad day. That person's always, always doing great. Boy, yeah, of course they have joy. If you look at the list again of the works of the flesh, and you read it, and again, you don't have to be a great scholar to read those things and know, wow, this is talking about some bad stuff. And you realize the flesh always produces misery. But it doesn't just produce misery when we're bound up in it like some of the things would suggest. It produces misery every time we yield to it over the Spirit. We think, oh, well, I'll get a little bit of enjoyment this time. Oops, no, boy. No, I didn't. Unfortunately, think about this. Well, I mentioned this a minute ago. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, can be grieved. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know, he indwells us. He's with us all the time. If you're married, you're with your spouse frequently, obviously, and they're grieved, don't you know about it? If you have a best friend or a friend you're with all the time and they're grieved in some way, don't you know about it? If the Holy Spirit's grieved by how we act and live, do you think we'll know about it? I don't put a lot of stock in living by feelings and things like that. But friend, he is God, and he indwells us, and he is with us. If he is grieved, we will know about it. And a Christian living with a grieved Holy Spirit is not going to be one who is living joyously, but who will live in misery. The Lord works it out that way. So is there joy or is there misery? Do you know it's possible to even do good things but do them after the flesh and be miserable in doing them? You know, I've had miserable times, you know, teaching kids before. This is miserable. Whose fault is that? Well, you know, they don't listen. You know, you don't understand. Listen, the joy is a characteristic of the work of the Spirit, not of the misery is a characteristic of the work of the flesh. Is there joy or misery? You know, this is just my belief and conviction. You read the New Testament, you study, I read the whole Bible, but the New Testament specifically and the doctrines of the church and such, God expects his people to live in joy. And there's a testimony of people through the ages that have done so, even while being burned at stakes and suffering a lot more than we do. So, friend, if you're finding yourself even doing the good things but miserable doing it, I would encourage you, walk in the Spirit, and you'll still not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the question, simple, that sums it all up, is, are you walking in the Spirit? This is a lifelong struggle for us all. You might have said yes to the answer to that question yesterday, but realize today, no, not so much. We can quickly yield to the flesh on a day-to-day basis. Is there a specific area of struggle where you know that you need to simply yield to the Spirit's direction, which will be plainly spelled out in Scripture? He's not going to tell you something weird that you've never heard of. It'll be right from the book. It'll be a principle. It'll be something that his discernment teaches you. It'll be something that the Word of God takes and he may apply it in a situation you never thought of before. And he works, say, hey, this is you. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to act. This is what you need. And when we say no to him and yes to the flesh, you know what? There's not going to be any peace. It's just self-indulgent. And there's not going to be any joy. And there's not going to be any of the wonderful victory that Galatians describes. We will go around looking like any and acting like any lost person that doesn't have the Holy Spirit living with them. We're all capable of it. But the key is to walk in the Spirit. It's funny sometimes working with teenagers. You know, pastor, you know, you sometimes get the idea, and we've got some great ones, they never say this, but you know, just thinking, they're thinking, you know, that guy, there's no way I would do any of that, you know, there's no way I would be, if they only knew the joy and the peace. Say, why? Because, no, it just comes from being willing to yield to the Spirit and not to the flesh. And you know what? That's not just for preachers, and preachers don't have it all the time either. I'm just saying, you know what, a teenager might look and go, boy, I would never want to live that way. I would never want to do that way. I would say, oh, my friend, what joy when you know you're walking in the Spirit. Amen. That's the key for us all going forward. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day.